Get our Bibles open in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read some verses from this passage of God's Word. 1 Kings chapter 19, and commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible Word. That's 1 Kings 19, commencing at verse number 1. And Ahab took Jezebel, or told Jezebel, all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word, and for his glory alone. Amen. Just let's bow our heads for a wee word of prayer. Let's pray together. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this morning. And we pray that you'll help us to understand it. Help us, Lord, to study it and meditate upon it as we journey through the life of thy servant Elijah. We pray that our God, that we might see things here that would teach us. And, O God, we pray that we might be led of thee and by thy Holy Spirit taught of thee. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves into thy hands. Bless thy word to our hearts. And, Lord, make us a blessing to others. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, as we have followed the prophet Elijah, we have seen the prophet Elijah in many circumstances, many different situations. We have witnessed the prophet Elijah evidencing the very power of God in his life, both in his personal life and also in his public duties that God had called him to. Elijah has been mightily used of God as he stood before Ahab, first of all standing before God and praying, and then asking God to indeed to shut up the heavens, and then announcing that and having the courage to announce that to that wicked king Ahab. We then see him sitting down by the brook Cherith, and there he eats the food that God sends him by the ravens, and he drinks of the water of the brook until one day the brook has dried up and God tells his child to move on. He goes to Zarephath now. And there God has provided a woman there, a widow woman, to look after him there. The woman is just gathering a few sticks, and then she's making the final meal because of the situation she found herself in. She's making that final meal for her son and for herself, and then they have no more and they would die. But of course God had promised that woman, rather than dying, that she would be the means of blessing and keeping God's servant alive, and also her son and herself as well. And how that God did use that woman. And thank God, as she obeyed God, the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, they never failed. Until that day that God sent the abundance of rain, and there was no need for that intervention anymore. Then, of course, we find that the day came when a tragedy hit that home, and the widow's son died. And God's servant went up and carried that little boy up into the loft. And we watched him as he stretched himself out upon that child and he prayed unto God. The Bible tells us that God heard Elijah's voice and raised that child again
to his mother. So we can say that chapter 17 is a varying circumstances in the life of God's choice servant. And you know, that's just like you and me. There are different circumstances. Not every day is the same. But life changes in all of our situations. There will be different circumstances each day. But thank God, just as God was in the midst of these circumstances, so God's in the midst of our circumstances. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Then we came to chapter 18, and there we see once again this fearless servant of God coming into the presence of the king and commanding him, the king, to gather the nation and to gather the people to Mount Carmel. And there he was going to confront the 450 prophets of Baal. He was undeterred by the forces that were against him, even though that he was a single and sole servant of the Lord, standing amidst of all of this opposition and the people that had turned to Baal worship. Yet he was unafraid, because God had sent him on this mission. We see him as he takes the bullocks, the two bullocks, and gives one to the enemy and the prophets of Baal. And there they start to cry out unto their false gods, but no answer comes. And then God's servant says, come near. And he cried unto God, and God gloriously answered his prayer. And God sent the fire fell. And then he knew that God had answered prayer. And the people knew that God was Lord. And they cried out, the Lord, he is God. God had honored his name. The Lord, he is the God. And he was God alone. And so Elijah took the prophets of Baal and he slew them. He brought them down to the brook Kishon. And there he slew the prophets of Baal. And then he went to the king and he said, get thee up, he said, because God is going to send the abundance of rain. And so he sent him up there to his eating house. But God's servant went to the top of the mountain to pray. And there he fell before God and he cried unto God. And you know, as he sought the face of God and fell on his face before God, he knew that God was going to answer prayer. Now, of course, he had to wait. He had to wait patiently. He sent the servant up to look, to see, if there was a token there in the sky that the rain was coming. But there was no token. And he sent him there 7 times. And yet there was no token. And then he saw a little cloud by the size of a man's hand. That's all Elijah knew. My God had answered his prayer. Now, he didn't doubt that God was going to answer it. He just waited on God to do it. And friend, let me say that that's what you need and I need to do. You know, whenever you know what you're in the will of God, whenever you know that you're instructed by God to do something, then you know, friend, God is going to answer prayer. Even though you have to wait. Even though you have to wait for that answer, you know that God has written in your heart. And God has written upon your soul that he's going to answer that prayer. You believe God for the answer. God shall did. And he waited for the answer. And thank God the answer came. Last Lord's Day, as we're looking at him, my, he sends a message to the king. It was just a little token there in the heavens. And he says, tell the king to get back to the city. Get back to Jezreel. Because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. You know, he knew that God was going to send an abundant rain. Not just a few drops. But praise God, God was going to send a mighty torrent of rain upon that land. God answered prayer. And so as the king got into his chariot and made his way as fast as he could there, God's servant came running alongside him and my ran even in front of him, getting into that city of Jezreel. But you know, whenever he came to Jezreel, we find that he stopped. God's servant stopped. He didn't go into Jezreel. He stopped outside. You see, Elijah could have been carried away with himself. He could have thrown caution to the wind and just run on in defiant, knowing there was a wicked woman in that city. Jezebel was there, who actually controlled the king. And so therefore he waits outside just to see what's going to happen. But you know, the hand of the Lord was upon God's servant. And I believe the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe that God kept him. He used wisdom. He used wisdom. He didn't throw caution to the wind. My friend, he didn't get carried away with himself. He was a person that was wise in waiting outside that city, or outside Jezreel, waiting to see what would happen next. So we look at chapter 18. And what we see in it, we see the mighty power of God, friend. We see victory in the life of God's servant. And surely that's what we want every day. We want to experience that mighty victory in our lives every day. But the story doesn't stop there. We come into chapter 19. And friend, as we come into chapter 19, there's a different story. We were in the Bible class this morning, and we were looking in the book of Jonah. And friend, whenever you come to chapter 3 of the book of Jonah, my, you would say, stop there. Stop there. There's between 600,000 or a million people could gloriously see it. My, what glorious victory. Stop there. The blessing of the Lord. But friend, let me tell you, chapter 4 follows chapter 3. In chapter 4, after God doing all of this, after God giving all of this blessing, what do we see in chapter 4? We see God's servant sitting down, angry with God, hating God. That God actually saved this rebellious people. God actually saved those that repented. God delivered them from judgment. And God's child was angry with God. The Bible says he was displeased, greatly displeased, exceedingly displeased with God. Angry with God because God had answered prayer. And then he sits down and he says, God, you know, I knew you would do that. I knew you're a gracious God. I knew you're a God who would forgive. But I didn't want you. I didn't want you to forgive. And he sat down, friend. And he says, God, take away my life. It's far better that I died than to see you deliver this city. Isn't it sad when a person gets so far away from God, friend? Here's God's child, so far away from God. Angry with God, wanting God to take away his life. Well, here we come into chapter, in this chapter as well. And friend, after the victory of chapter 18, now you say, what a man. What a man is this man, Elijah. Until you come to chapter 19. And you know what you find out? That's exactly what he was. He was just a man. He was just a man. And that's what James says. He was just a man of like passions as we are. And so we find here, it says in verse 1, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. And I want you to notice here that Ahab goes in and he reports what happens upon the Mount Carmel. Now what does he tell him? Does he tell Jezebel about the failure of the prophets of Baal? No, never mentions about that. Does he tell them about them jumping up and down and crying to Baal for the answer and to send the fire? No! Does he tell them that their God had failed them and there was no fire from heaven? And the 450 prophets of Baal look fools. Does he tell them? No. He tells them, it says here, all that Elijah had done. And with all how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Ah, that's what he wanted to tell. He wasn't interested about what God had done. All he wanted to tell them, my friend, was not what God had done. He wanted to tell them what Elijah had done. The slaying of the 450 prophets of Baal. It was against God's servant. You see, Ahab's report, notice, had nothing to do about God. God's not mentioned. You remember what the people said after the fire fell? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. He didn't tell Jezebel about that. All he wanted to tell her was what Elijah had done. He slew your 450 prophets of Baal, knowing that that would make her mad. See, friend, it was a distorted report. And that shows you how hard the heart of Ahab was against God. He had rejected God. And God's not mentioned. But it's what Elijah has done. Ah, he mentions that. And what a life. He didn't say God sent the fire and God licked up the water and God licked up the altar and God licked up the sacrifice. No, friend, didn't mention anything about God. Is what Elijah done. Now, I want us to notice here in this passage of God's, there's lessons in this chapter 19. First of all, I want you to notice the contention that hurt Elijah. The contention that hurt Elijah. Now, it's not hard to imagine the effect that Ahab's report had upon Jezebel. She's furious. There's an angry woman here. And immediately she dispatches, look at verse 2, Jezebel sent a messenger unto Ahab or Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's talking about what you did to the prophets, my prophets. I'll do to you. I'll do to you. I'll kill you. You see, she was unable to hurt God, friend. So she hurts God's child. But I want you to notice, she's not fighting against God's child in reality. She's fighting God. She's fighting God. And I'm telling you, friend, there's not a person that fights God and prospers. You cannot fight God and prosper. And here we find here in God's word, she's fighting God, but her heart's so rebellious, she doesn't care. She doesn't care anymore. She's so furious. She's so angry in herself. She doesn't care. But that's a dangerous path. That's a very dangerous path to walk. She mightn't care. But God does. Do you remember the story of Pharaoh? The Bible tells us concerning Pharaoh that Pharaoh hardened his heart. He hardened his heart against God. And then there came a point that the Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God took over. And God says, I'll harden your heart. And whilst Pharaoh started in a rebellious way against God and God's people, and he was angry at what God was doing amongst his people, and he did not believe in God. He believed that he could fight God and prosper. Let me just show you. Look what he said. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. This is how boastful he was. This is what he thought. Exodus chapter 15, verse 9. The enemy said, and that was Pharaoh and his army, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Let me tell you, friend. That's what they thought. But God. And God brought them into the sea. And then God shut it over. And they were drowned. You can't defy God. You cannot take on God and prosper. And so we find that here's Jezebel. She's so filled with the anger against God's child. And here was the contention that actually hurt Elijah. Was the venom, the hatred of Jezebel against him. But you know, the interesting thing was this. What Elijah didn't see was the overruling providence of God. God's overruling. Notice what it says there in verse 2. Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow at this time. You see, instead of her ordering, she was so angry. She was so angry within herself, she couldn't think straight. Because let me tell you, what she did was to warn God's child. She actually warned him. She sent the message to warn him. I'm going to get you. You see, she wasn't thinking straight. She was so taken up with her anger, so taken up with her indignation, she sent a message to declare her intention. Her fury blinded her judgment. Her hatred made her blunder. But the sad thing is this, Elijah didn't see that. You see, if she'd have thought straight, friend, she wouldn't have sent a messenger. She'd have sent a soldier. Or a group of soldiers, and they would have killed him. But she wasn't thinking straight. She got so carried away what she was going to do, that in actual fact, here the providence of God warns the servant of God. And here's the lesson. Here's the lesson. Remember, events lie not at the disposal of the sons of men. That's a lesson. You see, man proposes, but God disposes. Events do not lie at the disposal of men's plans. God is sovereign. And if you can get that into your heart, it'll take away a lot of your discouragements, even when you're in a day of battle. You know that the Word of God says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And whatever the circumstance that you're going through, my friend, if you can get this, listen, this is a part of the all things of God. And yet there is the overruling, overarching providence of God and the sovereignty of God. That God will not allow anything to happen to His child outside His will. And if you can get that into your heart, in the days of testing, in the days of trial, the Bible says they that will live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. Every one of us. That we'll face the opposition, friend, against us. The Bible tells us, yes, we will have our days of tribulation. In this world, He says, ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? I've overcome the world. You're not in the hand of the worldling, friend. God's child, you're not in the hands of the ungodly. You're not in the hands of the ungodly. You are in the hand of the Lord. And the wicked may oppose the good, and the battle may be ever raging. But remember this, God's in the battle. And God's in control of the battle. And you get that into your heart. Now, what happens next? Elijah didn't see the providence of God here. He didn't see it. And what happens next? A sad story. Because he couldn't see God in the midst of it all. And I can tell you, friends, let me tell you, if you don't see God in your life, if you don't see the hand of God in the midst of it all, if you don't trust God's hand in the midst of it all, you'll do what Elijah did. I thank God. In the greatest battle that I've ever faced, I've seen the hand of God in the midst of it all. And the Word of God says, be of good cheer. Don't let the world put you down. Don't let them destroy you. Because you're not in their hands. You're in the hands of God. You're in the hands of God. Your life is hid in Him. The Bible says, listen, I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. You're in God's hands. And Elijah didn't see that what Jezebel did that day in warning him, that was the providence of God. But he didn't see it. And there was a contention that hurt him. And what happened is sad. And I want you to notice Elijah's response. Because you see, the threat that Jezebel made that day had a profound effect upon God's child. You know what it did? It put him into the throes of despair. It drove him into depression. And friend, the devil would want to do that with you. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you lose your joy, if you lose your happiness in the Lord, I'll tell you this. Your strength goes and you become weak. And the devil will put you down. He wants to tramp you down. And here we find, here's a man. And whenever you look at chapter 18 and you see him on the top of Mount Carmel and you see what God has done through God's servant and you see him on his knees before God and God answers prayer and sends the abundance of rain, you say, what a man. What a man. I could never be like Elijah. You know what God reveals in the story? The best of men are only men at best. It's a sad story. This chapter part, this part of it. You know, the Bible doesn't paint people only what they are. We read about Lot's carnality. We read about Abram's prevarication. We read about Moses' anger. We read about Aaron's jealousy. We read about Joshua's haste. We read about Peter's denial. We read about David's adultery and Jonah's disobedience and Paul's contention with Barnabas. All giving us the failings of men. Many of these were great men. But they had their failures. And if there's anybody sitting in this service this morning and say, I'll point that the failures of somebody else. Just before you do so, friend. God's looking into your heart and mine. And God knows your and my failures. Because at best, there's no perfection here. We're perfect in Christ. But there's not a one in this service this morning that's without failure. At some time in your life. Now what happened was this. On the other occasions, notice, go back to chapter 17, verse 2. Notice what it says there. And the word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, get thee hence, turn eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Go to verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Then go to chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. The third year said, go show thyself unto Ahab. Now notice that. On each occasion, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah. Look at chapter 19. Verse 3. And when Elijah saw that, he arose and went for his life. Notice the word of the Lord didn't come to him. Notice he didn't wait on any instruction of the Lord. He didn't fall upon his knees and say, Lord, you've heard this angry woman. You've heard what Jezebel has promised that she'll do to me. Now, God, show me your instructions. Lord, I've waited upon you before. I need a word from you. Didn't say that. He decided to do his own thing. And the Bible says he went for his life. You see, friend, he didn't spread the need out before God. And that's where you and I make difficulties for ourselves. Where instead of waiting on God, instead of waiting for an answer from God, instead of getting a word from God what to do, we take things into our own hands. And we get ourselves into trouble. Because we don't wait on God. Now I tell you this. Elijah would not be as he was in chapter 19 had he awaited on a word from the Lord. God had told him originally, go and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. I can tell you this. Had he waited on God, he would have gone to the place where God had desired him, not under the juniper tree. God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? I didn't send you there. He went himself. Friend, don't run ahead of God. I know there are people say to me, preacher, but I haven't got a direction from the Lord. Well, if you haven't got the direction from the Lord, don't get the direction from yourself. Because you'll fail. You'll get yourself into more trouble than enough. He decided to run ahead of God. Yes, he was in trouble. Yes, he was facing an angry woman. Yes, my friend, his life was threatened. But God took care of him up until that moment. Could God not take care of him now? Or can you only trust God so far? Not with everything. And instead of Elijah's mind being stayed on God, friend, fear took possession of him. And the Bible says he went for his life. Now the second thing is this. The circumstances that hindered him. You see, instead of walking by faith, he was taken up with what he saw. And notice what it says in verse 3. And when he saw that, he saw the wrong things, friend. Instead of looking to the Lord, his eyes was upon a furious woman. He saw the problem. But he didn't see God in the answer. And friend, that's over and over in the Bible. Turn to the book of Exodus chapter 14. And in chapter 14, you'll find that the children of Israel could only see the problem. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marching after them. And they were sore afraid. That's all they could see. They could see the Egyptians, the enemy, marching after them. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? Friend, they didn't say that at all. God says, I have heard their cry in Egypt. I've seen their affliction. They were crying to get out of bondage. Now they're so angry with God's servant, they turn and is this not the word that we said? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. All they saw was the problem. But friend, don't stop at verse 12. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. He saw the Lord. He saw the Lord. Which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye see today, ye shall see them again no more. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Quickly turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And there we saw, remember this, the spies going in down into Canaan. And here's the majority report. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sights. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. And the people wept that night. And then they murmured against God's servant Moses. But friend, go down the chapter. Go to verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. See, all the others could see were the giants. And here's two of God's men that say, the land's exceeding. Verse 8, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and will give it to us, which floweth with milk and honey. You notice what made the difference? God was in the minority report. The giants were in the first one. The problem was in the first one. They were so taken up with the problem, they couldn't see the solution. And then quickly turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 24 and 25. Let's read what it says there. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel as he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make him his father's house free in Israel. My, they were sore afraid, it says. They were sore afraid. Go on down the chapter. Go to verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with the Philistines. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistines to fight him. Verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. You see the difference, friend? He saw the Lord. All they could see were the problems and the difficulties. They couldn't see the answer. Their lives were dominated with a problem. And that was what's wrong with Elijah here. All he could see was a furious woman. And he lifted his eyes to the Lord. Oh, don't take your eyes off the Lord, friend. In the power of man, you'll not be able to overcome, but thank God, in the power of God, you will. The Bible says he went for his life. You know what that means? He forgot about God's glory. He forgot he was God's servant. He forgot he was on God's mission. And he took his eyes off God and the glory of God. And friend, all he was concerned about was himself. His own safety. He went for his life. Here's the man. Here's the man that took 450 prophets of Baal down to the brook Kishon, friend, and he slew them. And because of one woman, he runs from the call of duty as the prophet of the Lord. My friend, let me tell you, just before you start criticizing Elijah, remember this. It's very easy for you and me to do what Elijah did. To get caught up with me. We're talking about that in the Bible class. In the fourth chapter of the book of Jonah, it talks about I and my, the terrible twins. I and my. Wasn't God. Wasn't God's glory. It wasn't the cause of the Lord. No, it was me. And I tell you this, it's very easy for you and I to be filled with the I syndrome. And we fall into the same pit. Look at verse number 9. When God says, what doest thou here, Elijah? Verse 10. And Elijah says, I have been very jealous for the glory of the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants and thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. I and I. Notice what he said. I have been jealous. He didn't say, I am jealous. He's lost the vision. He lost the vision of what he was there for. Yes, he said, I have been jealous. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenants and thrown down thine altars. But now he's caught up with I and my. Go back to verse 4, just a little statement in there. And it says this. Go down to the end of it. It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. For I am not better than my fathers. Who told him he was? Why did he make that statement? I'm not better than my fathers. Had he got to the place, in actual fact, he thought he was? That somehow he felt that he was special? Had he got to the place where he thought that he was invincible? He soon found out he wasn't. See, the Bible tells us, we read it in James, we're to humble ourselves in the sight of God. And he will lift us up. You leave that with God, friend. And Peter's courage failed him in the presence of a maid. And Elijah's courage failed him in the presence of a queen. And you know, we've got to finish this morning. But you know what that reminds me? You see the boldness of Elijah in chapter 17 and the boldness of Elijah in chapter 18. That was of God. That wasn't Elijah. That was God's power. It was the Lord, not of himself. But when you take your eyes off the Lord, and you get your eyes on others, or other situations, or on other people, or other circumstances, I can tell you, you'll be as weak as the rest. And that's why the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119. Hold thou me up. Verse 117. And I shall be saved. Lord, hold me up. And thank God he promised. In Isaiah chapter 41. He says, I will help you. I'll strengthen you. And he says, I'll hold thee. I'll hold you up. Hold thou me up, and I shall be saved. And whenever he got his eyes off the Lord, friend, he ran for his life because he was gripped with fear. What the psalmist says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And the answer is, no one. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the mountains shake, the waters thereof roar and be troubled. All of this is happening. He says, but I have nothing to fear. Do you know why? Because I've got my refuge and my strength in God. Look to the Lord this morning. Look to the Lord. And when we come back to it, we're going to look at the tares that hedged him. He was hedged in with cares, burdened down. Is there someone here like that this morning? And you're burdened down with problems. How did Elijah get to that place? Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever get depressed? Do you ever get despondent? Are you ever in the grip of despair? Does fear ever possess you? Does doubt ever assail you? Do you ever feel lonely? As if nobody understands and nobody cares. And you've come to the end of your tether. Which end corner you've come? Do you ever go to sleep at night, friend, and wish you didn't wake up in the morning to face the problems, the burdens of another day? I believe there are people in this congregation who have honestly got to say, yes, many of those is true. I've been there. Elijah wanted to die. He just wanted to sit down. He says, God, let me die. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to face another day. God, I can't go on another step. Elijah was in a dark place. But let me tell you, I've got to say this as a finish. Thank God the Lord didn't allow him to stay there. Thank God, God brought him through. There's no secret what God can do for him. What he did for Elijah, he can do for you. He's an almighty God. Trust him. He'll see you through. We'll come back to it again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts that thou art still God. Even when the clouds are across the sky and the sun's not shining. Even, Lord, whenever it seems that everything's lost, humanly speaking, everything's falling apart. Thou art still God. And thou art still with thy people. And thou said, I'm the Lord and I change not. You're the faithful God that will never fail. Thou will see me through. Bless your people today. Perhaps there are those who are discouraged, downhearted. Perhaps there are many burdens pressing upon them today that nobody else can see. But, O God, help them to cast their care on Jesus today. Leave the worries and fears, for burdens are lifted at Calvary and Jesus is very near. Answer prayer for Jesus' sake.